ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. టుడే వి విల్ టేక్ అప్ ది థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ తైత్రీయ ఉపనిషత్ కాల్డ్ భృగువల్లి. యాజ్ వాస్ మెన్షన్డ్ డ్యూరింగ్ ది ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ తైత్రీయ ఉపనిషత్, నేమ్లీ బ్రహ్మానందవల్లి, ఆల్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ టాపిక్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత they have been completely discussed in the second chapter itself. Actually, among the Upanishads, the Taittiriya Upanishad is supposed to be the complete Upanishad. All other Upanishads, they all perhaps lack one aspect or the other of Vedanta. But Taittiriya Upanishad is so unique in all aspects of Vedanta because they are all discussed very thoroughly in that. And when we say all aspects, then we should understand that it talks about the Tvam Pada, the Tat Pada, and the Asi Pada of Tat Tvam Asi. So all three must be thoroughly discussed by an Upanishad, if it is to be a complete Upanishad. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, the Tvam Pada, namely the Jiva, is thoroughly discussed through the Panchakosha Viveka. We saw that elaborately during the Brahmanandavalli discussion, and which we don't find so elaborately in other Upanishads. And the Tatpada, namely the Ishvara, that was again discussed completely through the discussion through the Srishti Prakriya, the Srishti Prakaranam, the discussion on Srishti. Ishvara means Jagat Karanam. Actually, it came in two places as we saw there. Tasmat, actually, from the Srishti at the time when the from the Akasha, Vayu, all those things got created. So, Atmana Akashaha Sambhutaha. And again, the next section, it was So Kamayata in that section also. And their Aikyam, their oneness also was clearly pointed out, namely the Asipada. So, Ananda Atma, Brahma Puchyam Pratishta, and more clearly in the Sayaschayam Purushe Sayekaha, in that section also, the Asi Padam was very clearly discussed. So, Jiva is analyzed, Ishvara is analyzed, and Aikyam between them was also clearly revealed. And of course, the Jnana Phalam, that was also clearly discussed. So, that person, who is such an evolved person, that Jnani, he is free from bhayam, fear and guilt and all those things. So, there is nothing that is not discussed from the Vedantic angle in the Taittiriya Upanishad. And as far as preparations are concerned again, all of them are discussed actually in the Sikshavalli section. In the Sikshavalli, Upasanas, Karmas, they were all discussed. And Sikshavalli, so preparations are over. And in Brahmanandavalli, Brahma Vidya is over. So, why there is a need for the third chapter? That will be the question. Actually, we did not do Sikshavalli as part of this webinar because I already did it earlier in my regular classes. So, I did not do that. If there is time at some point in time, I will also try to do Sikshavalli as part of the webinars again. So, why we have to go to the third chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad? And because that would be our curiosity, because the other two things have discussed both the preparations and also the Vedantic portion. Now here, in the third chapter, three main topics are discussed. It highlights the importance of a guru, which is not clearly pointed out in the Sikshavalli or Brahmanandavalli. The guru, the Sishya are not clearly mentioned there at all. And their approach, the Sishya's approach towards guru, they are also not mentioned, unlike in other Upanishads. For example, if you take Kathopanishad, in Kathopanishad, the story of Nachiketas, how Nachiketas approached Yamadharmaraja, the Guru-Sishya Samvada, that was clearly given. And for example, if you take the Mundaka Upanishad, there also the Guru-Sishya Samvada clearly comes. But in Sikshavalli and Brahmanadavalli, it is not clearly given at all. Only in one place, there is a hint, because Atataha Anuprashnaha, there is in that Atato Anuprashnaha, in that section. There were, if you remember, we pointed out three questions, Brahma Asti Vana, and then what, whether Vidwan will reach Brahman or Avidwan will reach, so all those questions we saw. So there, the Guru Sishya must be there for this Samvada, that has to be inferred, even though the Upanishad clearly did not point out that thing. So if Guru is not mentioned, one may misunderstand that one can study Vedanta by oneself. See, that is a risk actually in Vedanta. If Guru is not clearly mentioned, people might take, maybe they may look for some translation aids using a dictionary and all that. Or they may take a correspondence course, all that thing, you know. So if Guru is not there, how Vedanta cannot be approached? That is the another most important thing. So Guru is a must. It is indicated in the third valli, in the third chapter. And next point is the importance of tapas. The word tapas has got actually a different meaning in Vedanta, the Vedantic context. In the Karmakanda context, tapas has one meaning. In the Jnanakanda context, a tapas has actually a totally different meaning. So what is the meaning of tapas in the Karmakanda context? It is nothing but self-denial. You willingly put the body into some suffering, kaya kleshaha, so that the body does not get used to comfort, luxury, and all that. If not, otherwise body will command me rather than my commanding the body. I'll become a slave to all those comforts and luxuries. So thus upavasa, vratams, like for example, people when they want to go to Sabarimala, for example, they observe 41 days of vratam, eating only once during the day, you know, walking without chappals, all those things, you know, and people, they sleep without a pillow and all that. So they are all kaya klesha, huh? They are all in Karmakanda portion. Whereas when you come to the Jnanakanda portion, tapas is not as kaya klesha, but of sense control and mind control. So this is tapas when you come to Jnanakanda. So manascha indriyanancha aikagriyam, that is the paramam tapaha. That is the greatest tapas. That is the manasaha aikagriyam. One-pointedness of the mind. Mind control. Shama or samadhanam or both. And sense control. So this is one meaning of tapaha in the Vedantic context. It is not self-denial. It is one of these things. And there is also a second meaning in the Vedantic context for tapas. That is enquiry. Alochane. That is enquiry. That is also tapas. So the first meaning Shankaracharya gives, that is sense and mind control. And the second meaning, namely enquiry, Sureshwaracharya, he gives that meaning, enquiry. So which one should we take? We'll take both, because both are useful. So these two together, we call it tapas for our discussion. That means when the student learns from the teacher, that student should not be a passive student, passive listener. Okay, teacher is saying something, all those words are all falling on my head and ears. So he cannot just keep quiet without doing anything. He should be proactive in exercising his mind to understand and ask questions and inquire about the teaching. So this is the person should be actively cooperate with the teacher. Active listening actually involves later reflection also, that is mananam portion. So shravanam during the class and mananam after the class, a person should go. So these two together is called tapas in the Vedantic angle. So active cooperation and later independent reflection of what is heard in the class. And this tapas is the second topic of the third chapter. And the third topic is some more upasanas. Already most lot of upasanas have been mentioned in Sikshavalli. Here some more also given. If someone, for example, has skipped Sikshavalli or the teacher has not done that so far, then if he has not prepared properly, the teacher wants, Upanishad wants to make sure that the problem is in not going through that, is not there, people will be again be aware of what are the various preparations needed. Otherwise, the student might say, I am not able to get any benefit, so Vedanta is useless also, he might say. So go through some more preparations here and again come back to Brahmanandavalli portion and understand Vedanta even more clearly. So like, for example, it's like a tutorial college, you know. Till a person passes, he keeps on going back to the tutorial college. So Guru, Tapas, Upasana are the three topics covered in Bhrigavalli. And this chapter is called Bhrigavalli because it begins with the word Bhrigu. If you remember, the first chapter is called Sikshavalli because it begins with the word Siksha. Sikshamvya Akhyasyamaha Varnaswaraha. So it started with the word Siksha, so it is called Sikshavalli. And the second chapter is called Brahmavalli or Brahmanandavalli because it starts with Brahmavida Apnoti Param. So again, Brahma. And the third chapter is going to be called Bhrigavalli because it will begin with Bhrigur Vaiva Runihi. So it starts with the word Bhrigu, so it is called Bhrigavalli. And this chapter also will get the Shanti Pada, similar to the previous one. And that's what we just now recited. Sahanavavatu, Sahanav Bunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahi, Tejasvina, Vaditamastu, Mabidvishavahi. So Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Actually, we have seen the meaning also during the discussion of Brahmanandavalli itself. I am not going to go through it again now. So please refer to the previous discussion or the previous lecture. It is again a prayer for the fitness of the student and the teacher, especially the inner fitness. It is a spiritual fitness. Of course, outer fitness also is necessary, but both are important here. So let us remember whatever has been discussed during that time before the Brahmanandavalli chapter. So the teacher also must remember what he learned from his guru. Before the teacher teaches, not only the student should be alert, the teacher also should remember the teaching from his guru so that he will teach the correct information. He may add some examples here and there, that may be possible, but he should teach only the correct information as he learned from his teacher. So, and the student also should have good grahana dharana shakti. Actually, it is given as the medha shakti in Sikshavalli. It is the grahana dharana shakti. The grasping power should be very good, and also whatever is grasped during learning should be retained, dharanam. So grahanam and dharanam. So this is the essence of prayer, actually, of this prayers, the Saganavavatu prayer. And let there be also no obstacle with this learning. Now, I have now come to learn another new chapter, so I don't want any obstacles to stop me from learning. The learning should be complete and successful. That is a prayer for that. So the text in the Bhrigavalli, let us go into the text in the Bhrigavalli now. It starts with a story. So this is Akhyayika Arabhyate. It is starting with that kind of a story right now it is. Now we will read that portion to start with and then take the actual meaning of whatever is given in the text. Bhrigurvaiva Runihi Varunam Pitaramupasasara Adhihi Bhagavo Brahmeti Tasma Etat Provacha Annam Pranam Chakshushrotram Manovachamiti Tagumhovacha Yatova Ima Nibhuta Nijayante Yenajata Nijivanti Yat Prayante Bisamvishanti Tadvijignasasva Tad Brahmeti Satapotapyata Satapastaptva. So this is the first section of the third chapter, Bhrigavalli. So the Upanishad, as I said, begins with a story. And what is the story? Bhrigu Asit. There was a great rishi known as Bhrigu. You know the way we start stories. Once upon a time there was so and so. So Upanishad also talks the same way. There was a great rishi known as Bhrigu. Actually, even in the Sandhyavandana mantras, we get several names of rishis, all the Sapta rishis. Atri, Bhrigu, Kutsa, Vasishta, Gautama, Kashyapa, Angirasa, Rishayaha. So one of the Sapta rishis is the great rishi Bhrigu. And who was he? He is Varunihi. Varunihi means Varunasya Apatyam, the son of Varuna Devata. This Bhrigu rishi is the son of Varuna Devata. And the term why, Bhrigur Vaiva Runihi, that why is given to indicate that it is a story. The Upanishad is recollecting, as it were, because the story is given by the Upanishad itself. This is not given by somebody else. The Upanishad itself is giving a story. So the why padam indicates that it is a story. And what did this great Bhrigu Rishi did, who is the son of Varuna? Varunam pitaramupasasara. One day, he approached Varuna, who is his father. Upasasara means approached. Varunam pitaram upasasara. He approached his father. Now, we might wonder, what is big deal about it? There is not a big news. He went to his father. That's our statement. But it is a great news because when an ordinary son approaches ordinary father, they approach for so many different things. Most of the time, they go to the father essentially to seek money and this and that and all, most of the time. But it is a special son approaching a special father for a special purpose in this scene here, in Bhrigavalli. Special son approaching special father for a special purpose. And what is that? That makes him very great. He says, Adhihi Bhagavaha Brahma. He does not address him, oh father or dad or any of those, papa, any of those. He addresses him as Bhagavaha, oh Lord. That is how he addresses his father. What do I want? Brahma Adhihi. Please teach me about Brahman. Brahma Vidya Upadesham Kuru. That is what the son is asking his father. That is special. To ask the father to teach him Brahma Vidya. That is what he wants. And this should be actually within quotations, because Iti Shabda indicates, as I told earlier itself, indicates this is a quotation. So the Upanishad is quoting the words of Bhrigu. Iti Bhriguhu Varunam Uktava. Thus Bhrigu addressed his father. So this much alone is the story part of it. Bhrigu approached his father and addressed him like this. Now we should find out now the purpose of this story in some detail. After all, we are interested in what? In the teaching. That is where our interest is, not whether he walked to his father or father sat him by his side. All those things are our stories. We are not interested so much in them. But we are interested in only the teaching part of it. Now, someone might have taught someone else something. Why should the Upanishad be particular about Bhrigu approaching Varuna for some teaching? That is also another question we should understand. After all, these are all incidental details which can be omitted. As the Upanishad doesn't have to say anything about this at all. It would have been omitted. Some X taught some Y. That should have been enough. Why should the Upanishad talk about this story? Shankaracharya writes, actually why I am saying all these things is, the Acharyas have commented on all these things. Shankaracharya, he writes, there is a purpose. There is a tatparyam for this. That is what Akhyayika Vidya Stuyate. That is what, from this story, we get a lot of ideas. The first idea is what? It is the glorification of the Vidya, the teaching. What is the great glory of this Vidya, this teaching? It means that has not been the discovery of a single individual. This is not discovery of any individual at all, but this has been learned by the Shishya from the Guru, which in turn has been learned from his teacher. So there is a parampara. It is not just discovery of some student. It has been going through a parampara. So we come to know that it has been received in the form of a guru-shishya tradition or guru-shishya parampara, which means its beginning we cannot trace. It means it is an anadi vidya, sanatana dharma. It does not start at any point in time that we can know of. It is Sanatana Dharma. That is why Hinduism is called Sanatana Dharma. It has not been discovered by some individual or a prophet at some point in time. But it has been there from beginningless time. That is why it is called Sanatana Dharma. So, thus Vidya is Anadi. So, it is time-tested wisdom. It is not just, it didn't occur at some point in time. It is a time-tested wisdom we can rely on, we can trust. And the second glory is, it has been taught by father to son. That is another important message. Therefore, we need not doubt the validity of the teaching. Because if some other person is teaching somebody else, we can always question the validity of the teaching. But because this is father to son, if it is somebody else, there could be a doubt. Whether the person is misleading, Krishna actually said in Bhagavad Gita, na buddhi bhedam janayet. That is, you may be a hoax teacher. He might create buddhi bheda. These days we are not able to really trust anyone's words at all. That is how the times have become now. But once we know that the father has taught to his son, then we can trust. Because a father will never mislead his son. And therefore, this teaching is a reliable teaching. It's a trustworthy teaching. And that is another big reason. And that is why this vidya is glorious. This is one point. Then we can get another important point also from this story. And what is that? Here, the student happens to be Bhrigu. And Bhrigu is already a very well-known rishi. Which means what? He must be a highly learned person. He is learned in Tarka, in Vyakarana, Mimamsa, all Shastras. And even though he was such a learned person, when he wanted Brahma Vidya, he did not attempt to get it by himself. He was humble enough to approach his father, his teacher. So in our case, for example, if you take generally people, if you have got some higher learning in some other field like a PhD or something in something else, that person feels a little bit bad to sit and learn from somebody else. Actually, long ago, I happened to have a student. He would come and tell me, Mama, would you be able to teach me one-to-one separately? I don't feel like sitting in a class along with everybody else. So the ego does not allow, because I am MD of some company or VP, AP, any one of those P's, you know, or some I'm a doctor, I am engineer, I am, but all those things. So they come in the way. That ego will come in the way in learning also. But here we find Bhrigu, in spite of being himself a great rishi, he goes and he wants to go and learn from his father. Actually, in Chandogya Upanishad, we find Narada. He comes to Sanat Kumara and tells him. Actually, Narada is already a very famous rishi. He is a Triloka Sanchari. For a famous man to approach another person and learn is generally difficult, because the ego comes in the way. Narada is such a great person, but still he goes to Sanat Kumara and he says, I am great in all other things. I am Triloka Sanchari, but still I do not know Atma Vidya. So when Bhrigu approaches his father for this Brahma Vidya, from this actually Shankaracharya's statement that emphasized, what did this? Sastragnyopi swasantre swatantreyena, see, Brahmanvesham na kuryat. So even if a person is a great Shastragnya, a great person in Shastras, when it comes to Brahma Vidya, you don't do it by yourself. Go to a teacher. However great a person can be in Sanskrit, a Sanskrit scholar or a Mimamsa or Tarka scholar, does not matter. One may be any of those. But if one wants to study Vedanta, one has to humbly approach a teacher. And Bhrigu is a representative for that tradition. And not only that, how we should approach the teacher is also indicated here. You know, this is just only two lines only I read. How much of implication it is there. And Acharyas like Adi Shankaracharya, they have taken care to comment on all these things. Because he is a father, and because there is a closeness, he could have taken his father for granted. And casually, perhaps on one day, he would have told, while having breakfast or lunch together, you know, he might have asked, he could ask my father, Daddy, why don't you tell me about Vedanta? He could have had a casual discussion with his father. Actually, some people ask very casually in, you know, when they travel by train or something, they go to New York. They may commute by train or they may carpool. And during that time, they may ask, so what is going on in the classes these days, in the Vedanta classes? What the teacher is trying to teach? So people might ask those casual questions. But Upanishad says, no. Especially, I should fix a time. Especially, I should go. And especially, I should ask, not as a father or something. That is why he is a Vedanta teacher now. That is why he did not address him as, O father, O pitaha. But he asked him as Bhagavaha. The relationship is not a father-son relationship, but it is a guru-sishya relationship. So that is what is brought out. At other times, other relationships can be there. But when it comes to teaching, I must accept that. So just that Arjuna, the same way Arjuna dropped the Maitri Bhava, the friendship relationship, and he humbly surrendered to Krishna and said, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. That is what he did. So this story also indicates that everyone should approach the teacher with humility. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. That is what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. So this is another point also that we infer by getting this story. And the importance of the guru and the how the guru should be approached. That is another point. And final point we get from the story again is that the jnanis were not only among sannyasis. Generally the feeling is a jnani should be a sannyasi. But we come to know that there were equally great jnanis among the grahasthas also. Because when we say son is approaching the father, father should necessarily be a grahastha. And that means what? We have two paramparas. One parampara is what? Pravritti marga parampara or grahastha parampara. And the second one is nivritti marga parampara, the sannyasi parampara. So this is another point also we should get from this. So these are all the implied meaning when the Upanishad talks about this story. So we might originally think what is in this great story, but acharyas have taken pains to explain to us why this story is also important. And the most important idea is the necessity of a guru. When it comes to Vedanta, there is nothing like self-learning courses. One has to approach a guru and learn from him. Okay, when such a sincere disciple asks the teacher also must be serious. He cannot just brush aside. But generally what happens? The father does not respect the words of the son most of the time. And whenever he asks something, he brushes him aside, especially if the son is a child. Right from childhood this happens. Actually, Swamiji tells this is a very, very bad thing. Father may be talking maybe some serious business with somebody. But the child, 5 years, 10 years old, the young child comes and asks the father some question. The father should not brush the child aside. Even if you want to say, I am busy, it should be properly communicated. I will talk to you later. That kind of thing. So for that matter, this may be very simple for the father. But for the child, it may be a very, very big thing. So if a child's mind is wounded, it may be damaging to the child as the child grows. So when a sincere person asks a question, for the guru, the question may appear very silly. But still, he cannot be judgmental. That is why we always say in the classes, there is nothing like a good question or a bad question. Do not qualify your own questions. Whatever may be your question, just spit it out. You know, all the times I used to tell, be a fool once, then be a fool for a lifetime. So always when there is any question, there is nothing like a good or bad question. The teacher will not be judgmental about the question. He will try to only answer. So Varuna also takes the student's question seriously. And why does he do that? Tasmat etat provacha. And that's what does he do? Tasmai, tasmat etat provacha means tasmai, sishyaya, bragave. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikarine, Brahma Vidyarthine, Brahma Jignasave. So all those things are implied. Then Tasmatim Etat Provacha. Provacha. What? Etat. Etat means this following. So the following should be within quote. So Tasmat Etat Provacha are the words of the Upanishad, and the father's reply is going to be within quotes. What the father replied? Annam pranam chakshushrotram manovachamiti. Now we said in this chapter, the independent inquiry, that is the tapas, is going to be highlighted. So in this chapter, tapas, inquiry, that is going to be highlighted. Therefore, the teacher is not going to spoon feed the student. That is also another important aspect we should learn from here. The teacher is going to give him some clues on the teaching. And the student has to work on the clues of the teacher and must arrive at the final teaching. So that the importance of tapas is highlighted. Tapas here means inquiry, as I told earlier. In spoon feeding, even though it may be convenient and easy, there are certain problems. The student will not independently think and inquire. So the teacher must give the teaching with some incompleteness to enable the student to think further. And here also, the teacher gives some clues on Tvampada, the Jivaha. We already explained earlier, Tvampada refers to Jiva. So some clues on the Tatpada, the Brahman. So clues on Tvampada, clues on Tatpada are given, and the student must work out and see the Asipada, the identity between them. So first some clues are given on Tvampada. What are they? Annam, Pranam, Chakshuhu, Shrotram, Manaha, Pacham. All of them, they relate to Jiva. Annam refers to Annamaya Kosha. Pranam refers to Pranamaya Kosha. Manaha refers to Manomaya Kosha. And the other things are sense organs. Chakshuhu, Shrotram, they refer to Jnanendriyani, the Jnanendriyas. Chakshuhu means eyes. Shrotram, ears. They refer to Jnanendriyas, sense organs. Vacham refers to Karmendriyam, because vak, the organ of speech, belongs to Karmendriyam. I hope people remember the five Karmendriyas when we dealt with in Tattvabodha. Vak, Pani, Pada, Payu, and Upastha. Vak means speech, Pani hands, Pada legs, Payu the excretory organs, and Upastha the genitals. So Jnanendriyas are Tvak, Chakshuhu. Tvak is the skin. Chakshuhu, eyes, Shrotram, ears, Rasana, tongue, and Granam, smell, are the nose. Of course, Jnanendriyas belong to Manomaya Kosha, and Karmendriyas belong to what? Pranamaya Kosha. So we have to understand that. So three koshas have been given. And now we have to add the other two koshas we have to supply, namely Vijnanamaya Kosha and Anandamaya Kosha. So thus the Upanishad gave reference to koshas of the individual. That's what the father gave. He refers to the koshas of the individual. And after giving some clues on the Tvampada, namely the Jiva, then Tagumho Vacha, Tagumha Vacha. Again, the teacher talked to him. These are words of what? Upanishad. So up to Chakshu Shrotra Mano Vacham Iti, Mano Vacham, father said, and Iti refers to the courts. Tagumho Vacha, again, that is the Upanishad's words. And that means what? After this, again, the teacher again talked to him. And what did he talk again? Now, some more clues are given on the Tatpada, the Brahman or Ishwara. What is Brahman? Brahman is very beautifully defined here as Jagat Karanam, the cause of the universe. Jagat Karanam means what? What Karanam it is? That also we have seen through elaborately in Brahmanandavalli. Jagat Upadana Karanam is Brahman. The material cause of the universe is Brahman. And what is the definition of material cause? We are just only refreshing what we have already seen earlier. That from which something is born, that by which something is sustained, and that unto which something goes back. That is what is called Upadana Karanam. Shrishti, Sthiti, Laya Karanam, Upadana Karanam. Now, what is the definition of Nimitta Karanam or the intelligent cause? Srishti Matra Karanam is Nimitra Karanam. For example, it's only creation. For example, if you take the example of potter, which we gave earlier also, the potter is the cause for only the creation of the pot. The potter does not sustain it. Who sustains it? The buyer sustains the pot, not the potter. So, pot maker is only Srishti Matra Karanam. And what about clay? Clay is Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam. Because out of clay the pot came, by clay only the pot existed, and unto clay only the pot goes back finally. Therefore, clay is called the Upadana Karanam. Similarly, what is Brahman? It is the Upadana Karanam for what? Not for the pot or ornament or any of those small things, but Upadana Karanam for all things. That means what? All things and beings are born out of Brahman. All things and beings are sustained by Brahman. And all things and beings go back ultimately into Brahman. And that is what is said here. Yataha imani bhutani jayante. From this alone, all the beings are born. Here, bhutani means all jivas and not panchabhutas. Bhutani people should not think it's panchabhutas. It is all the jivas. Panchabhutas are also included. All living beings particularly here. And how do we know? The next line says, jivanti. If jivanti comes, ఇట్ షుడ్ బి అప్లైడ్ టు లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఓన్లీ. ఇన్ పంచభూత అని వీ డోంట్ యూస్ ద వర్డ్ జీవంతి. ఏన జాతాని జీవంతి, దట్ ఇస్ ద నెక్స్ట్ లైన్. బై దిస్ అలోన్ ఆల్ ది బాండ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ సస్టెయిన్డ్ అండ్ దే గ్రో. జీవంతి స్టాండ్స్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అండ్ గ్రోత్. వర్ధంతే చ. అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ లివింగ్ ఫర్ సమ్ టైమ్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్? యత్ ప్రయంతి అభిషం విసంతి. ఆల్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ దాట్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఓన్లీ. వాట్ ద ఉపనిషత్ వాంట్స్ టు రియలీ కన్వే ఈస్ వీ డూ నాట్ సడన్లీ రిసాల్వ్ ఇన్ టు ద కాస్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, ఇఫ్ యు టేక్ డెత్, డెత్ డస్ నాట్ సడన్లీ హ్యాపన్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఇట్స్ ఎ వెరీ వెరీ గ్రాడ్యువల్ ప్రాసెస్. ఎవరీ మూమెంట్ వీ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ దాట్ ఓన్లీ. ఇట్ మే బి వెరీ స్కారీ టు ఇమాజిన్ లైక్ దాట్, బట్ ఎవరీ మూమెంట్ వీ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ మరణం ఓన్లీ. ది ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఈస్ ఎవ్రీ మూమెంట్ వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ మరణం. మరణం ఈస్ దట్స్ కారణ. సో జస్ట్ యాజ్ ద రివర్స్, ఆల్ ది రివర్స్ దే ఆల్ అప్రోచ్ యునో వాట్ ఎవరీ మూమెంట్ దర్ ఉపాదాన కారణం నేమ్లీ ది ఓషన్. ఆల్ ది రివర్స్ అప్రోచ్ ఎవరీ మూమెంట్ దర్ మెటీరియల్ కాస్ నేమ్లీ ది ఓషన్. సిమిలర్లీ యత్ ప్రయంతి మీన్స్ ట్రావెలింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ దాట్. Finally, abhisam visanti, they merge, not suddenly, but every second traveling towards that Brahman. Abhisam visanti, they ultimately merge into that Brahman. Tad vijignyasasva, may you inquire into that material cause. Tad, tad upadana karana. So, into that material cause, that vijignyasasva means, may you inquire. About that material caste, may you inquire. So that is like a quiz. That is what the father gave to him. Now, why I ask you to inquire? For the father asking, Tad Brahmeti, that material caste alone is Brahman. I am asking you to inquire into that because that material caste alone is Brahman. Because what should we should remember? What was the original question? Adigi Bhagavaha Brahma. That was the question of the son. You teach me what is that Brahman. The teacher says, I will not give you all the clues. I will give you some clues. What is that? Brahman is the Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam. If it is a complete teaching, what he should have told? The teacher should have given one more thing also. And what should be that? Tad Brahma Tvam Asi. That then only the teaching will be complete. Don't go in search of that Brahman anywhere. That is yourself only. If the teacher had told that also, then the teaching would be complete. But suppose I do not relieve that, I reveal that, and I teach the student to only one part, namely Brahman is the Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam, it is incomplete teaching. So it is called Savasesha Bodhanam, it is called in Vedanta, and the student has to inquire into Brahman. Because when he listens to these statements, what does the student generally he thinks? Aha, there is some Brahman like that. His curiosity is increased. And what is the name of that jnanam? Actually, we have seen all those things earlier also. I am just only refreshing. What is the name of such a jnanam? It is called Paroksha Jnanam. He thinks there is some Brahman from which everything has come. Now through inquiry, what should he arrive at? It is not some Brahman, that Brahman I am. That is the conclusion he should arrive at ultimately. And therefore, to discover that, what did he do? Up to Brahmeti should be in course. These are the words of the Guru. And they indicate what? Tatpada. The Tatpada Brahman. So, Tvampada clues are over. Ishvara has been talked about. Jiva has been talked about. Tatpada clues are also over. So, Brahman has been also talked about. And what did this bright, brilliant student do after hearing all that? He did not want the whole teaching at all. Therefore, Saham Tapaha Atapyata. He said, okay, I will go and make some inquiries. That is what the student did. I have heard from you. You have given me some clues. Now, let me go and inquire into this further. And then let me develop my own inquiry and try to arrive at the answer. I have got now some clues. Annam Pranam Chakshuhu, Shrotram, etc. These are all some Vyashti clues. You should remember again the terms Vyashti and Samashti. These are all Vyashti clues relating to the individual. Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayante. They all refer to Samashti clues of the total. some in the microcosm, and some clothes are in the macrocosm. Therefore, tapaha atapyata. He did tapas. Bhrigu, he did tapas means he started to inquire. He started to analyze more using his buddhi. So tapas means what? It's not like standing in one leg, standing in upside down. They are not like that kind of tapas. That is not the tapas here. Those tapas may be all in karmakanda portion. As this is not a karmakanda tapas. So here it is inquiry. What should be used? Buddhi should be used. For this inquiry, what is important to be used is buddhi. Therefore, tapaha atapyata. And saha tapaha taptva. Saha satapo tapyata satapas taptva. Saha tapaha taptva. Having done this inquiry for some time, he came to some conclusion. The student, Bhrigu, having gone through this inquiry, has come to some conclusion. And that conclusion will be given by the Upanishad in the next portion. We have not read it yet. That is going to be given in the next portion. But the Upanishad says, having done this inquiry, and it says dot, dot, dot. That should be continued now in the next section. So it stops at that in this section. But before that, before we go to the next section, we have to see a few more points also. The definition of Brahman given here is a very famous definition, actually, which we have to remember. And what is the definition? Yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayanti abhisham visanti, tad Brahma. So that is the definition given here about Brahman. This is important. Means if you quote, for example, next time, we must be able to be familiar with this statement. This is called the Lakshanam of Brahman, Brahma Lakshanam. This is the definition of Brahman. This is Brahma Lakshanam. And this is a very important definition because this definition has been taken for inquiry in the Brahma Sutras by Vedavyasa. Vyasacharya takes this definition to be given in the Brahma Sutras, actually the very first Brahma Sutra. This teaching alone is given. The sutra used there is Janmadhyasya Yataha. That is the sutra. Janmadhyasya Yataha. Vyasacharya puts the whole thing in a very cryptic statement. Janmadhyasya Yataha. Such a simple cryptic statement reveals this entire concept of the Brahman. What is the meaning? Yatova imani bhutani jayante etc. Tad Brahma. That is Brahma. So we had also another important definition in the previous chapter. Actually, when we did the Brahmanandavalli portion, we had another beautiful definition for Brahma. If you remember, what is that definition? We should not actually forget that, because when we come to this portion, one should not forget that definition. Now we got a new definition, means the old definition cannot be forgotten here. That definition was Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. And that is also what Brahma Lakshana. That is also definition of Brahman only. And both this definition, what is given here in the Bhrigavalli, Yato Vayimani Bhutani Jayante, Yena Jadani Jivanti, Yat Prayanti Bisham Visanti. So that definition and Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma given in Brahmanandavalli, both are important definitions only for us to remember. And now we may have a question, what is the difference between these two definitions? The definition given in Brahmanandavalli and the definition given here now, what are the differences between these two? Technically, they say there is a distinction. That definition of the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, namely Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, is said to be Swarupa Lakshanam, direct definition. Actually, I think I have given this term also earlier when we did Brahmanandavalli. So it is called the Swarupa Lakshanam. Whereas this definition here, Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti, that portion here, that is called Tatastha Lakshanam, which can be translated actually as indirect definition. So there it was Swarupa Lakshanam, which is direct definition. Here it is called Tatastha Lakshanam, Tatastha Lakshanam, which can be translated as indirect definition. So what is the difference between these two? In the direct definition, a thing is defined in terms of its own nature. whatever is the nature of the thing, it is defined in terms of its own nature. So that Brahman is of the nature of Satyam, of Jnanam, of Ananta. So Brahman is defined in terms of its own Swarupa. This is called Swarupa. Therefore, it is called Swarupa Lakshana. It is like defining a person, for example. We say that a person is such and such height, 5 feet, so many inches, fair or dark or bald, spectacled, you know, tall, short, all those things. So these are all defining a person in terms of his own attributes, his own nature. Suppose I define a person in a different way. For example, take a person like Ramakrishnan or somebody. Ramakrishnan is the one sitting under the pillar.